that is some introduction music.
Wow.
Since 2003, Diane Dobry has traveled regularly to Hungary, and she's even lived there, she's worked there, and even more importantly, she's imported Hungarian wines over here to America. We like that. She's currently writing a series of books about her experiences, and we're super excited to have her on today's Big Blend Radio Food Wine Travel Show with the International Food Wine Travel Writers Association. She's joining us to give us a scoop of what it's like to eat, drink, and be merry in Hungary. And her article on Hungarian food and drink is up on blendradioandtv.com now. You can go see it. It's also featured in the summer issue of Big Blend Radio and TV magazine. I encourage you to go follow her blog. It's gettinghungary.tumblr.com, so check that out. And she's also got another blog, dianesdiscoveries.tumblr.com. And her website is dianedobry.wordpress.com. So welcome, Diane. How are you?
Thank you. It's nice to be here. I'm doing well. How about you?
Oh, doing good. Doing good. Going through all your photos of Hungarian food and wine. I'm hungry right now.
I know. Look at him.
No, you know,
hungry in Hungary. That's one of my books.
Yeah. That's right. So, what got you interested in traveling to Hungary?
Well, my grandmother's family came from Hungary in the early 1900s, and I never thought I would go there because it was always communist while I was growing up, and I had to do a doctoral dissertation on something related to a culture, a different culture, and my interest was always in media and television, so I thought, you know, I had done some reading about how when television came to India, it changed the way people lived their day-to-day lives. So I decided, well, I don't really want to go to a third world country, but I'd like to go to a country where television was restricted. And I said, oh, Hungary had that during communism. Maybe I'll go there. And things just started to fall into place. I met someone in New York City where I was working. I had been working at Columbia University, and I stopped to have dinner in a restaurant, and the bartender who was serving me was Hungarian. We became friends, and when he moved back to Hungary, he invited me to come there, and so he became like a brother to me, introduced me to his best friend, who also became like a brother to me, so that kind of started my whole adventure of going there.
Wow, and if you hadn't stopped there that night, you know what I mean? Isn't that interesting how things happen like that. It's supposed to happen. You're supposed to go there and look at all, you know, how long you've been going back and forth and even living there. So, and writing, that's something that it seems has always been part of your life too, because you do a lot of work as a freelance writer and helping, you know, people with websites and things like that. But what led you into now I'm going to do travel writing? Was it your trip to Hungary?
Well, yeah, I think so, because I didn't travel that much. I was raising kids, and when I started working at Columbia, and I had to say, you know, a program to go into for my graduate degree, it just seemed so interesting to do something international. So I focused on international education, but I was always interested in the media and television. And that's why I thought, you know, I'd like to interview. And I did. I interviewed the family. I actually stayed with different members of my friend's family and watched what they did, watched the television there. I interviewed television, you know, people who were producing it, who made the laws. And it was a very interesting process to do the study, but ultimately my advisors were not interested in it, and I had to change my doctoral thesis.
Oh, wow.
But I learned a lot about Hungary and day-to-day life there, and just kept going back.
Wow. And looking at the images, too, like, the buildings are so historic. I mean, this is just a whole different thing than we look at, you know, historic buildings in America versus historic buildings in Hungary. The architecture is so ornate and so, it's like medieval-like to me.
Well, actually, a lot of the important buildings and structures were built in 1896 or around that time, because they had chosen, they weren't quite sure when the group came in, Romano, I guess it was the Magyars, came into Hungary. So I think a friend of mine told me it was kind of a, you know, around about 896. So they said, let's have our millennial celebration in 1896. And they started to build buildings. And even in the Hero Square, there's a tall column with the Archangel Gabriel at the top, and that's 96 meters high. The Parliament building is 96 meters high. I believe St. Stephen's Basilica is 96 meters high, because all these buildings were built for that centennial celebration.
Oh, I see.
They're very beautiful. You wouldn't realize, you know, a lot of people have this idea of, oh, Hungary was in communism. It's square concrete buildings and blah, but it's not. It's quite beautiful.
And one of the photos you have is of people like in this big swimming pool, like a bath, you know. It looks like a hot spring. Where's that?
Well, that's the Széchenyi public thermal baths. The Budapest is built over, there's caves underneath the city, and there are thermal baths, and they actually have to cool down the water for people to go into it. But the Széchenyi is so beautiful, and it's the public baths, and it's this big yellow neo-Baroque building with all these like statues, and the big outdoor pool is actually two different temperatures. It's separated by a wall, and it's so much fun because you can go into this whirlpool and just get caught up in the whirlpool, or they have showers that kind of pop on, and you can stand under it and get like a massage on your shoulders from these water showers, and people playing chess in the water.
Oh, cool. I want to do this. Because it was just, it's really surprising reading, you know, your writing and following your blogs on Hungary. And you seem to like to go around Europe, too. When you look at the food, you know, there's that idea that all of us just think, oh, Hungarian food, there's two things, paprika and goulash, and that's it. And so when I was looking, you know, reading your article and looking at the images, I'm like, whoa, man, this is, you know, I'm so wrong. there seems to be some...
Well, the pastries.
I know.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah, the pastries and all the
cakes. They have a lot of the cakes. They do serve... You know, because they're right next to Austria, they do serve like the kind of torte that's sold in the soccer cafe or in Vienna, but they also have their Dobos torte and Esterházy. So there's different types of cakes, and I mentioned in my article two different tour groups that have food tours, and there's so many different kinds of Hungarian foods. But also, there's 6 Michelin star restaurants in Hungary, and there's a gourmet food festival every. This year, it's in May. When I've gone, it was in June, and it just blows me away. Some of the combinations. I mean, even the ice cream, they would put like different kinds of wines in ice cream combined with some kind of other flavor, like cheese.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Cheese and wine and ice cream. Wow. But did it taste good? That's the important thing.
Yes. They're interesting flavors. I mean, you know, they do have a lot of ice cream stands around Hungary with these homemade, you know, they just like, it looks like it's all just fluff and different colors and different flavors than you would normally get in the U.S. And then there's this one called Fragola, and it's on this Rade Street, which has, it's almost like a street full of restaurants, and Fragola has the interesting flavors, with they'll use the wines or just things that you wouldn't expect.
Mm.
So are you saying that they flavor the ice cream with wine?
Yeah, they use actual wine. In fact, Hungary is well known for their dessert wines. They have the Noble Rot, the Botrytis grapes up in the northeast, and they have one of the most expensive wines in the world from that area. But so they do use sometimes the dessert wines, and they have these kinds of cheeses called Turo, and Turo is like a farmer cheese or a ricotta cheese, and it's you know, it tastes almost like they sweeten it, you know, but it's not very sweet. It's a
Is it like a cheesecake kind of ice cream?
Sort of. Yeah, it doesn't have the cheesecake texture, but it has that kind of flavor.
I like that. I want to try. I would definitely try this. You know,
mm-hmm.
Is there something when you first went over there and started eating the food over there? Did anything completely surprise you that you were like, I did not expect this? You know what I mean? Was it in any of the sweet department or was it the savory department that you got a little surprise?
Well, not so much the foods when I first went over there. It was kind of the traditions and things. They did eat a lot of liver paste, which I have to say, yeah. Goose liver pate is quite common. And when I lived there, actually, I was in the hospital. I had broken my arm and needed surgery. And one of the key foods they served me was liver paste on bread.
That doesn't sound that good.
Yeah, but you know what? That's you know, when we lived in South Africa, they had, and I think they did this in England too, fish paste. And it's like this paste, and pate was a big deal over there too, because I think it was kind of more of the German and the Dutch who brought that part in, but pate, even English, I suppose. And it was everybody ate that. I didn't, because I'm allergic to fish, but it's just not a thing for me. Let me put it that way. Everybody's got their thing, but I don't know about the liver paste thing. Mm-mm.
That doesn't.
No, I don't know.
It was pretty. I guess if you're hungry enough, you eat it. But what they do have a drink there though that's called Unicum, and Unicum. There's actually a museum where you can learn about the history of Unicum and see all the different bottles throughout the centuries of how it was packaged. And Unicum was originally made as an herbal tincture for the king. And kind of a black, it's in a black bottle with a red cross on it. And it's a kind of a blackish drink. And what I found was that people were...
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, you okay. Floated out a little bit.
Okay, so there's this, what they have a tradition where they would normally drink a shot before dinner. So everybody would have either a brandy or this Unicum before dinner. And that takes a little getting used to. I had gotten used to it. And then I went back with a group of students there at an institute where we were learning about the culture and language. And we went to the museum, the Zwack Museum, it's called. And people were like, oh, I don't know if I can drink that. But you get used to it, and it becomes like the taste of Hungary.
Yeah. It's like me and Marmite. I love Marmite, and I miss Marmite. And Vegemite to people, it's like it's black and, you know,
gooey
and I mean it's vegetable oil and I don't know what it is, but it's black and gross to people, like truly. And to me it's like a big black salty greasy
syrup.
Paste.
Ugh.
Yeah. But I love it, it's really good. And I used to drink it in tea, like I make a tea out of it, you know, if you're sick, and it's just good, and it's got a lot of vitamins, so you know, that's so that, I don't know, especially if vegetarians eat it a lot. And that was something that I noticed you write about, that they seem to be growing in the vegan inside of the menu. They're doing, even though they like hamburgers.
Yeah. One of the first times I was there, they would ask me, well, when you cook hamburgers in America, what do you put in it? And I said, well, really just meat, you know, you just cook the meat and then put stuff on top of it. But they, when I was first there too, I was looking for oatmeal, and I was trying to explain to them what oatmeal was. They had no idea, and I happened to stumble across it in a drugstore, and I bought it, and I said, this is what oatmeal is. And because for breakfast, they don't really eat cereal, or they weren't eating cereal and toast or eggs. They were eating sandwiches with cold cuts and liver paste. And peppers, that was what they had for breakfast.
Wow.
So, but now it's like a big, they call it wellness. It's not so much a, you know, a healthy food. It's more wellness. And people are eating lactose-free and gluten-free and a lot of the different grains. And so it's much more diverse now, the menu, than the traditional. Because when I was there, when I worked there, I worked at a college, and you could get lunch for, you know, a very small amount of money, but it was extremely traditional food. So it was really interesting to see, you know, pasta with mashed potatoes in it, and pasta with cottage cheese.
Wow, this is quite a, you know, and I think it's interesting also that you live there and work there, isn't that it really immerses you in a culture. I think Nancy and I, that's why, I mean, we travel full time, and we end up staying in places longer than what was ever supposed to happen. And then sometimes we end up living in places for a while because you just kind of get in there. That's Kenya and South Africa was like that for us when we lived there in England. It's just like, okay, we can't just visit. We have to live here to really soak it up and really understand. And I think it takes 2 years to really understand a culture of living there, to really get it, don't you think? About 2 years.
Yeah, I wish I had stayed longer. I think because I broke my arm there, I was, you know, my family kept saying, come back. And I said, well, I don't have insurance in the U.S. to get treated. If, you know, I need to stay here and get treated. But I would like to have stayed longer, but I do go there for, I was there in 2017 for the summer, just writing about Hungary and then the Viking cruise that I went on from Budapest. But yeah, I had a great time doing that, and I would love to do more of it.
Yeah, Viking river cruises are awesome, man. They're cool. They're cool. That's like one of the coolest, you know, lines to go on. The other thing too, you know, you talk about these old cafes, and, you know, that's just, you know, it makes me want to paint for some reason, because you think about how cafes were such a big part of history, cafes and bars and blacksmith shops. It's where people would gather and talk about what was going on in the world, you know. So it seems to have that same vibe of that happening in Hungary over the years, the cafe being a central point for people.
Yeah, well, they have, as I write in the article, they have three big, well-known coffee houses. One is the New York Cafe, or, well, I call it the New York Cafe. I think it's technically the New York Palace Cafe, and it just looks so ornate with the big vaulted ceilings and columns and marble stairs.
Cool.
And you know, the linen tablecloths, the red velvet chairs, and there's frescoes on the ceiling, and it's just so ornate and formal looking, but it is also kind of touristy because, you know, tourists go there to see it. And Central Cafe Coffee House is not as touristy, but it is, they have those cake, all the different cakes. And the food tours tend to stop there. It's got the wood panel walls. It's also has a bar and restaurant there as well. I think the New York Cafe has a separate restaurant, and then they have a cigar bar, which is kind of popular. And actually, I don't know if it's still a cigar bar, because I was looking at it online, and they called it a kind of a different kind of a bar, because I think the smoking, their wellness mentality, they may have done away with smoking, so I'm not sure if it's still a cigar bar in the New York Cafe.
You know, there must be something about the red velvet. I remember my grandmother, who's from Hungary, she had red velvet chairs and red velvet drapes in the dining room.
It must be more of the upper class with the velvet.
Well, yeah, your grandparents, yeah, they
were very,
they lived in the Hollywood Hills. They were la di da.
Yeah,
they had like
right behind the H.
Yeah, of
the
Hollywood.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, right behind the H. And I'm like, they had underground tunnels too in their house, and that was kind of cool.
and creepy.
In Hollywood.
You go down like this staircase, and then there was a door we were told as kids never to go through. Of course, we did. And we came, it was a long tunnel, and we came out by the duck pond down below. It's kind of cool.
Oh. Well, that's kind of like the Buddha Hills. They have caves underneath the castle, and you can visit. There was a hospital in the caves during World War II, and there is a museum there now of where the hospital was. But there is a lot of cave. I saw something on one of the travel shows on TV of people going in the caves, and it's just too narrow for me. I get claustrophobic.
Yeah.
But outside of Budapest, you can go in these caves where there's water, and you can go in boats, you know, called Tapolca in one of their national parks near the Balaton Lake area. There's underground caves over there. They have some, I mean, as far as the thermal baths, there's a place outside of Budapest called Hévíz. And Hévíz has a lake, a thermal lake that's about 117 degrees. And you can stay in a hotel on the lake, and then they have these tubes, and you can just kind of float in the lake with these lily pads. And
Okay, that's it. Okay, so I think our Love Your Parks tour needs to go to Hungary. Yeah, we need to
go
around the world with this.
And I'll give you the tour.
Speaking of that, all right, so we're going to come visit you for a weekend in Hungary. Okay, so if you're going to be our tour guide, where would you take us?
Course you have to go to Budapest. So there's, because that's got all the big buildings. If you go on the Danube River at night, which Viking Cruise is parked on the river by the Chain Bridge, and Chain Bridge is the main bridge that goes across from one side is the Four Seasons Hotel, and on the other side is the funicular, which is the, you know, the little carriage or train that goes up the hill to the castle. You can climb stairs as well, but you could pay to go on this funicular, and it just lifts you up the hill to the castle region. And the castle is overlooking the Danube right across from the Parliament building and the Chain Bridge, and you just see everything lit up in the sky. Our Viking cruise said, you know, they didn't have a problem. Like, sometimes they aren't able to schedule it, so they can't promise people that they'll do it. But they took us just for a ride the first night up and down the Danube to show us all the buildings lit up. And it was so amazing. And when I was asking people later on the cruise, I said, what was your favorite city? They said, Budapest was so beautiful, especially the buildings at night. So there are boats that you can get that aren't a cruise, and there is a restaurant that's in a boat on the side of the river. It's called Spoon, and it's a little bit expensive, but you can go outside and just take a picture with the castle in the background.
Does somebody live in the castle? I mean, is there a king and queen or...
No, they don't have a monarchy anymore, but I think there is part of the castle that is used for the president. But a lot of what happens on Castle Hill is there's a lot of little cafes, there's apartments. I actually stayed in one of the apartments there. It was amazing. But they have the Matthias Templum, which is Matthias Church, which is where the kings were crowned throughout the centuries. And it, of course, it's not the same church as it was from the beginning. There was a church standing there in the year 1015, and that's the site of where it was. And they have what's called the Fisherman's Bastion, that's kind of a wall that overlooks the Danube, and it's so Disney-esque. You know, when I first went there, I said, this is kind of like being in Disney, but it's real. You know, turrets and walls overlooking the Parliament and the Chain Bridge.
Little Tinkerbell
floating around out there.
Yeah. You know, this is incredible. So you've got this castle, you've got all the buildings lit up, you've got, you know, a cruise and boats and fancy meals and a boat. So then, okay, but we have to include on this tour, we have to go float with the lily pads. I want to go in the lily pad area.
Yes.
That's got to happen. So where
else
are we going?
Well, that's a good trip to make, because it's probably about 2 hours from Budapest, but on the way there, you pass the lake. Balaton Lake is called the Hungarian Sea, and it's this. I think it's the largest lake in Central Europe. But they have wineries and wine festivals all around the lake.
Nice.
With different wine areas and beaches. When you go to the lake, you can walk out into the water. It's warm. The bottom of the lake feels like velvet. Talk about velvet. And it's, you can rent like little pedal boats and things in certain locations on the south shore. But then once you get to the western side of the lake, because the eastern side is closer to Budapest, the western side has this town where Hades is with the thermal lake.
Oh, it just seems odd that water would be warm. You know, cause
you would think so, yes.
Yeah, it's just odd because anywhere we go in the States, unless you're going to a hot springs, a lake is going to be cold.
Exactly. And you think of, if you're going to have warm water, you have to be in the tropics or something,
right.
You know. So this is interesting to me. It's really, this is just so fascinating. It's so different, and I'm loving this. I want to go. I want to go to the lake. So from there, where do we go? I'm hungry
well,
now.
Well, there are some national parks. If we're in Budapest as well, you know, everything is very close because Hungary is about the size of Indiana. So you could probably go from one end to the other in 6 hours. Kind of, you know, keep in Budapest, you can do day trips or overnight trips and still get back to Budapest. There is actually north of Budapest is what's called the Budapest, the Danube Bend. And there's a little town called Szentendre, which is like a little village that has some, it's a little touristy, but it's got the shops with the traditional clothes and pottery and embroidery and some restaurants. One restaurant there, I think it's called the Golden Dragon, was where Laura Bush ate. And they have their traditional Hungarian foods there. And you can get the street food, langos. Langos, it looks like a pizza, but it's very Hungarian, very popular. It's fried dough, so it kind of has the consistency of a donut, but it's a circular kind of crust, and then they put garlic oil on top and what they call Trappista cheese. It's a very mild white cheese, and then sour cream, and it's just really, really tasty. They serve it quite frequently, even at the Balaton, at the lake. Every stand has some kind of langos, and you can get ham on it as well. There's what else?
Wow.
They have a lot of, you know, the sausages, of course, that you can buy, but langos is one of the most popular to have in a pool, in a, you know, in the lake, in the summer, on the street. And then north of that little town, Szentendre, is called Visegrad, and Visegrad was a fort and a castle, and you go up and up and up to this very high peak, which is where they had the castle, and they could watch up and down the river, so that, you know, anybody coming, they could see and attack or whatever. And then a little bit further north is Estergom, which is a cathedral and the ruins of another castle. That you can look over into Slovakia across the river, and that you can go up on the dome. It's quite windy though at that point. So that's
This sounds like a magical adventure. You know,
is it cold there or warm, or how does
in the winter it can get pretty cold. It snowed a lot this year when I lived there.
Oh.
I didn't see that much snow. I mean, maybe 3 inches of snow. But that was a lot for them. But, you know, also north of Budapest, northwest of Budapest, is where the Hollywood filmmakers, I mean, you have a lot of Hollywood stars staying in Budapest because they give these tax incentives to filmmakers. And there is a studio in Etyek. And Etyek is also a wine region, so you can go to some wineries there. But there's a film studio and museum where you can see the back lots, and they film like The Martian there, and some other, Ron Howard goes there frequently, Tom Hanks, I think Jennifer Lawrence has been there recently, making films. Melissa McCarthy made that movie Spy.
I want to see that. You know, I was going to say, in regards to Budapest, we John Lee Hooker, the blues legend, his son was on our show, I was going to say about 8 years ago. I was saying about 8 years ago. He did an album, Live from Budapest. And, I mean, it's an awesome album, everyone. Seriously, he starts, like, it's so loud because, you know, John Lee Hooker Jr. is, like, his dad, like, you know, and he starts the album like, boom, 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 Budapest. It's so loud. It's just like, and then everybody's like, boom, 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 you know, and it's off you go with this, just this awesome live album. And he said he kept going back because he said everybody was so alive and so into the music. And so he keeps going back there to Budapest. That's his thing.
Well, they
do blues
they
in Budapest.
They have a festival in August. They have these islands in the Danube between Buda and Pest. And one is Margaret Island, which was it used to be an island of rabbits. And now it's kind of got a lot of sports things going on, swimming competitions. And there's some cool restaurants, a place called Hippie Island. It's a nice big park, almost like a giant, but there's another island north of there where they have the Sziget Festival, which it's one of the biggest European music festivals, and young people just go and camp out, and it's not even just young people. Mostly young people I've seen, but camp out, and there's just musicians from all over that play there. And actually, I have a Facebook page called Getting Hungry also, and I just posted that Deep Purple, I don't know if you knew Deep Purple.
Oh, yeah, Smoke on the Water, yeah.
they're playing in Budapest soon, and I said, who knew they still toured, and they're going to be in Budapest.
Wow, so awesome. This is, it's interesting because, you know, we do a lot of music on the show, and a lot of musicians end up in Europe from America, and a lot of, you know, Europeans will come over here. It's difficult with Australia for some reason because of visas, but they keep going over to Europe because, you know, they've got this really good audience. But I don't see Hungary on that list so much, but it'd be interesting to see that grow, you know, because it sounds like it is. And it's just one of those things that we're not always aware of, you know. I did want to ask, because, you know, you've got your Facebook page and, you know, it's on Twitter. You know, you're writing these books. One is a memoir. When can we expect them to be out so that we can all read them?
Well, I'm working on the wine book first. I was trying to figure out which might sell. And I figured with people going to Budapest to pick up a Viking cruise or any of the river cruises, go stops in Budapest. And Budapest is now becoming more and more, even you hear a lot of English being spoken there more so than when I first went there. I thought, well, you know, people don't know that Hungarian wine was for hundreds of years on par with French wine and was one of the most, the premier wine making regions in Europe. So because I was a wine importer, I decided to work with a professor there who's a professor of viticulture for 30, 40 years. He also studied in the U.S., and we put together some of the basics of, you know, what to know about Hungarian wines, what types of wines, you know, the indigenous varietals are, and just kind of a guide. And actually, I'm trying to write some articles about 10 wines to look for on Hungarian menus when you're in Budapest. So that will probably be the first one. I've worked on two chapters. I'm trying to think how many chapters I have, 6 or 7 chapters And then I think I'll do the memoir, which is just little snippets of, you know, from being, you know, my first year, my first visit there and being confused and learning the language and living there, being in the hospitals and just being on tour, learning the language. I said that already. But
Being a wine importer. Going in there, and next thing you know, you're in a different country and, you know, you're learning it, you know, that's immersing yourself. And that's always so fascinating for people to understand from personal experience, you know, and what's life like there. I think that's the coolest thing of what you're really sharing with us is this genuine, authentic experience, you know. Memoir, everyone, so a wine book coming up. So people can... The best place for that is if they follow your blogs, right? GettingHungry.tumblr.com, is that the best place? Or Diane's Discoveries at Tumblr?
Well, the Diane's Discoveries are kind of the U.S. places I've kind of stopped in. I live in Florida, so there's a lot I'm discovering in Florida that, you know, is not theme park related. And but the GettingHungry.tumblr.com is my blog now. I'm thinking of turning, you know, to a WordPress blog to make it a little bit more dynamic and have more to offer, like little, you know, ebooks and stuff that can be gotten and maybe a podcast, but all about Hungary.
Awesome. Awesome. So you're like the go-to lady for Hungary. I love this. So what's your favorite wine for like summertime?
Well, in summertime, they have a lot of really good white wines. You know, even though they're known for the sweet wines, they really have some good white wines. What you might be hearing about is ferment, F-U-R-M-I-N-T. And that's used to make the sweet wines, but it's also a good white wine. But my favorite is very hard to pronounce for Americans. It's called Cersagi Fusaresh. And it's a very crisp. I used to sell it when I was importing it. It was very crisp. It had like a grapefruity taste to it. You could have it with fish or, you know, like salads. And it was just a nice, crisp white wine, especially when served cold in the summertime. It's
sounds good.
I know. And I will have that featured in my book. But that's
excellent.
My favorite white. There are really good reds in Southern Hungary. It's very warm there, and they have an area called Villan. It's V-I-L-L-A-N-Y. And they have some of the best red wines I've ever tasted. And I brought it to the U.S. to a wine distributor, and he tasted it. He said, "Where did you get this wine?" And I told him, I said, "But I think they only make like 100,000 bottles a year." They weren't making that many, but they are... Some of them are so delicious, so delicious.
Mm. Man, I'm so intrigued and really appreciate you stopping by on Big Blend Radio today to share this. And, you know, this is so much fun doing these shows with the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. I'm glad you're a part of them. How long have you been a member with them?
Since August. I had been doing a lot of travel writing in the year before that, so I applied and I was...
Awesome.
Invited to join, so very happy to be
awesome.
Part of it.
Yeah, it's a cool network, and I know they have a conference coming up in November that's going to be in Santa Fe, New Mexico, for writers and members and destinations where everyone comes together. Do you think you're going to make it out to that?
Yeah, I just had heard about it, so I'm looking at that. I also I teach writing and public relations, so I'm kind of working around my schedule there, and I'm trying to get to London or England for Christmas. I always wanted to see what Christmas was like in England. So,
awesome. Well,
so
I'll connect you with someone
that.
For that. I'll connect you with someone for England for sure. We have Glenn Burrows. He's our England expert, and he especially works in family history, takes people on customized tours of England. And, yeah, if you need any information, I'm sure he'll be happy to correspond with you about that. But, yeah, England, we've been to England during Christmas time, and if you want really good, like, really good food and, like, you know, cheese scones and hot pot, and you know, and when it comes to
Mr.
candy,
Whippy.
They're so good at candy over there. They're just,
yeah.
they're just,
oh.
they, oh my gosh, real chocolate.
Well, Hungary, actually, Hungary's been winning a lot of awards for their chocolates. They have some really, really good handmade chocolates, and actually, I did lead a tour of students when I was working at a college in upstate New York. It was an agricultural college, and I brought the ag business students to Hungary to learn about agriculture and viticulture there, and they said we never would have ever gone to Hungary and if you hadn't suggested it, and they were really excited about, you know, seeing how things were done there.
Sure, you don't really think about, you know, I think because it was communist for a while that people kind of
just kind of crossed it off.
Yes,
just kind of like just forgot about it, you know. And that's it's wrong, you know. It's so fascinating to me. And the other part is, you know, talking about agriculture, and you've got photos of paprika. And, you know, I was thinking about you going to Santa Fe. It'll be interesting because you know how in New Mexico there's always a big ristos of, you know, peppers. And it just kind of, it's very similar. So I wonder, you know, when you eat the food in Santa Fe, if there's going to be similarities there because of the pepper, you know?
Yeah, they have a whole aisle in the grocery store of peppers, you know, like, it's not just one little bin. It's an aisle of all different types of peppers because it's such a, you know, a big part of their culture. Pepper.
Yeah, that's. I need to go there then because that's my thing. I love peppers.
Oh. Very healthy, very healthy, and they even pickle them. They have places where they have the pickled peppers and pickles and.
Do they
use
it in any cocktails? Do they make cocktails with peppers?
They do have cocktails at a lot of there are higher end bars and restaurants. They have these rooftop bars, and it's just they really know how to have fun. That's what I think I love about Hungary. It's, you know what? Even when I worked there, it wasn't about the money. People just were very family oriented, and let's go and just sit in the park or sit in the plaza and have a festival with food and wine, and they really know how to just have a balanced life.
Man, that sounds, you see, that's, we are Hungarian, Nancy.
And the music is cool.
Music, wine in the park.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It has been such a fascinating conversation. I loved every minute of it. We could talk about this for hours because it's just such a fascinating place.
Well, I'll come back next year.
Okay, good. Please do. Everyone, you know, I'm just going to call you the ambassador of Hungary. So go to gettinghungary.tumblr.com, also dianesdiscoveries.tumblr.com, and then also dianedobry.wordpress.com. And her article is up on blendradioandtv.com. And also you'll see it in the summer issue of Big Blend Radio and TV Magazine. Fabulous article. And for the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association, we were talking about their conference. And if you're a travel writer, an author, a food expert, a destination as well, go check out ifwtwa.org. Awesome, awesome organization. And Diane, we love to play music for our guests. And we know you like wine, and it's almost summertime, and you're in Florida, so it is summertime. But,
yes.
We love Florida. Actually, that's the first place we lived when we came back to the States after South Africa. We lived in Florida, and
that was fun.
Florida helped inspire our Love Your Park tour, going to the Everglades. And we were like, okay, we're home now. So, beautiful, beautiful,
it's beautiful
state that you live
it's
in.
Beautiful, more than I thought I would like it.
Oh,
it's cool.
It's beautiful and it's so multicultural. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where are you in Florida before we play music? Whereabouts are you?
I'm in the Winter Park area, just north of Orlando. It's part of Orlando, but
yeah,
it's beautiful.
Orlando
here.
Is fun, and there is way more than the theme parks.
Absolutely.
When
exactly.
we were there, there was this market, the Mercado, and it's not there anymore, unfortunately, because I looked it up for a friend who was going there, and I remember, you know. This was about 20 years ago. So, and we got there, and all these different, it was like this international market where people really came from those countries. And it was at the end of the evening, and there was this, you know, Beatles tribute band playing in the courtyard. And there was this beer shop or whatever. There was, you know, we went to get beer, and there were all these South Africans, Zulus, and singing, and I knew their songs, and I remember singing with them at the end of the night, and I was like, I'm home.
Oh my gosh.
Like, this is so cool, and just I met people from Kenya, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm home. Like, I can do this move. It was one of the coolest experiences ever there, Nancy. Remember
yep.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we were bad girls. We
yep.
didn't know how to get back to our hotel.
That's right.
But anyway,
we can remember.
They do have a lot of
much.
Markets, a lot of marketplaces in Orlando to go to, you know.
Yeah.
Festivals
and
stuff.
I remember Kissimmee. Yeah, yeah, you live in a beautiful place. Well, everyone, here it is. Here's our summer wine song.
Thank
this
you.
Is by Shelley King. It's from her album Fan Faves, so enjoy that. And you can keep up with Shelley at shelleyking.com. Thanks so much, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
And take care.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about getting away. Maybe I just need a little escape. Away from all this busy and around. Find a little time to come unwound. It's so easy to get caught up in this race. With so many dreams to chase. Then I hear that song on the radio, making me wanna go out in the sunshine. Sip a little summer wine. Slow dancing in the park. A little drive out past the city to the countryside, holding hands and talking about love, away from all this push and shove. Take some time to look into your eyes, reconnect our disconnected lives. Remember how it used to be. All that mattered was you and me. It's so easy to get caught up in this race. With so little time to waste. Then I hear that song on the radio, making me wanna go out in the sunshine. Sip a little.